Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Ken again, aw yeah?
Aw
yeah! Aw yeah! What is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people from all over the world? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
committed
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're stuck in traffic, walking the dog, untangling some audio cords, or even
Getting a quickie wedding in Vegas.
Yeah. I'm joined here today in holy matrimony with the man himself, Mr. V, a.k.a. Mr. Lover. Oh, no, sorry, that's the wrong one. Ethan, what's up?
I haven't been called that since college.
You haven't been called Mr. Lover since college?
Nope.
How you doing today, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Very excited
here,
to
be. I heard there in Perth that the wedding bells are chiming.
The wedding bells are chiming, yes. Well, not my wedding bells, but I am going to a wedding today, which is why we are gathered here today in holy matrimony to record this podcast.
What does that mean? We're gathered here in holy matrimony.
So this is something that you hear at weddings. So if you haven't guessed it, today's podcast is all about weddings, wedding vocabulary, wedding scenarios, cultural aspects of weddings. And when we say to be joined in holy matrimony, that is something that is said by, well, generally a priest, although not always now, but the person who is orchestrating the wedding, the person who is marrying the bride and groom,
or marrying the bride and groom,
marrying the bride and groom. Yeah. So they generally start off by saying, ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today in holy matrimony, meaning that I don't know, it's the holy spirit, the maternal mother, matrimony, right?
Not exactly sure what that means, what the etymology that would be, but I always thought just matrimony was another way to say marriage.
Could be.
And what does it mean if we say, bells are chiming?
The bells are chiming. A chime can be the noise that a bell makes, and generally we'll say wedding bells means, you know, someone's getting married, so the bells are chiming. It's telling the village that the two people are getting married. Probably
the great
probably
village
comes
of Perth, Australia.
Yeah. It's actually a family friend of mine. Julia is. I won't say her last name because, well, not that anyone really knows who she is. But it's a family friend of mine that I've known since I was born. So it's pretty interesting.
Haven't you wouldn't want anyone like
15 years.
That is crazy. I was gonna say you don't want to say her name because someone might crash her wedding.
What does it mean to crash a wedding?
It means to go uninvited, basically to enjoy the free booze and desperate single women.
Yeah. You're obviously getting that from, I guess it's a popular Hollywood movie called Wedding Crashers with, what's the name of that actor? When I was younger, someone said I used to look like that guy.
Owen Wilson, right?
Owen Wilson. He's got kind of like shaggy blonde hair and like a funny looking nose like me.
Yeah, maybe if you broke your nose, you'd look like him.
Okay. Well, I don't have the same haircut anymore, but I used to have that same kind of shaggy haircut, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Those were the days. And the movie is about these two guys that are just, they just find out where weddings are happening, and they crash the wedding in order to, like, you know, what Ethan just said, to just make, you know, take advantage of the free alcohol and party environment, and they would also go to pick up women.
What does that mean, to pick up women?
Pick up women in this way, in this sense, is to, you know, flirt with them and then, you know, have sexual intercourse with them.
How science-y of
right?
you.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say something a little more subtle, but I don't know. It's early morning here. I couldn't think of a creative solution.
Your coffee hasn't quite gotten you to you yet.
Nah. And what we also said at the start there, wedding chimes are ringing. We said holy matrimony. Something else I said, but I said something totally. You said something else related to weddings. I forgot what it was, though, right?
Or getting a quickie wedding in Vegas.
Committed. Quickie wedding in Vegas and committed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so quickie wedding.
That's like it could be kind of like a shotgun wedding, we might say as well, but a quickie wedding just means a fast wedding. And Vegas is famous because anyone can just go there and they've got a bunch of little chapels. Chapel is a small church where you can go and pay a little bit of money and get eloped.
Yeah, okay, so get eloped.
Get eloped is like it's basically to kind of run off and get married, right? Without really inviting all the friends and family, kind of doing the more traditional big ceremony. That's get eloped.
Mm-hmm. And you probably see those quickie weddings. Often they're conducted by like Elvis Presley or other American personalities like that.
Someone who's probably gotten their marriage certificate on the internet.
Yeah. my dad can actually he's a justice of the peace is the name of his role. He's because he works for like local council, and he's qualified for some, I forgot what you actually have to do for this, but he is actually qualified to marry people.
That's interesting. So like, is he going to marry you at your wedding?
Well, I don't really have any plans on getting married, but it could be kind of cool.
Yeah. Do you know what else is kind of weird is like boat captains can marry people. I've always thought that's kind of strange.
It's probably because you know, if you do get like stranded, if a boat gets, you know, sinks and you get stranded on an island somewhere and they need to kind of procreate to, you know, keep humanity alive, they need to be married before they can, you know, get you know, have children.
I mean, and biologically
there
speaking.
Anyway. Yeah. So, first of all, marriage. What the hell is that thing? Why do people still do that? Do you believe in marriage, Ethan? Are you would you see yourself in the future getting married one day?
Maybe. I mean, I could definitely see it kind of being more of a legal thing than actually like something that's really important to me. But I think it is nice, like if you're really in love with someone, if you generally do want to spend the rest of your life with them, that you kind of can celebrate that with your friends and family. But I think that it's kind of something that's traditional and it's not necessary for everyone. I believe two people can live together and have kids together nowadays without necessarily needing to formalize it with marriage, especially with the, at least coming from a background of being from the United States where there's a very high percentage of divorce rate.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you think?
And I mean, I agree with what you said. If you really love someone and, you know, you start sharing their life, I think for the legal perspective, it's like you actually share, you're making a commitment to that person. So, but on the other side, you know, just to clarify here in this podcast, because obviously Ethan and I are both from like Western cultures, being that, you know, we're talking about marriages that are based on Christian religion. So whether it's like Catholic or Protestant, Roman Catholic, something like that, these are the kinds of weddings we're going to be talking about, because there's a whole handful of different kinds of marriage situations you can have, like Jewish, I think Jewish marriages are a little bit different. You have like from Indian marriages are generally all arranged marriages. So, you know, growing up, you actually know who you're going to marry because it's of relevance to your family. You get married to a family that is somehow beneficial to marry because mm-hmm. of family ties. And then there's lots of different kind of African and Middle Eastern religions where you might actually, I'm not sure how common these are nowadays, but you can have several, a man can marry several women.
Or, you know, just in Utah in the United States.
You can do that? Oh, okay, of course.
In,
yeah, yeah.
Mormon Jehovah's country.
Witness. Yeah, Mormon, sorry. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are only talking about one specific kind of marriage, and we do realize there are many different scenarios out there. But yeah, I think that marriage would be kind of cool. But like you said, I don't feel like I need to do it. You know, I know back in the olden days, it was very bad if you were to conceive a child and you weren't married. You know, that child was a bastard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he doesn't have a father.
And that is often, you use this term earlier, the term a shotgun wedding. Mm-hmm. Is often used when, for example, a man might impregnate a woman, and in order to be all good and dandy, the father of the woman will actually grab his shotgun and force the kid to marry his daughter.
Yeah, that's true.
So he doesn't look bad amongst the villagers.
That's what that comes from. But it's like in modern English now, it's kind of used more for like what we were saying before, a quickie wedding, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Or maybe it kind of would make someone think probably that maybe the woman was pregnant or something, so they kind of quickly decide they should get married since she is pregnant.
Yeah.
Kind of have that connotation come with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's like, well, I'm already preggers, so why not just tie the knot and do the whole package?
Well, that's a good one, tie the knot.
Yes. Tie the knot would be to get married, another term for getting married. Where do you think that comes from, to tie the knot?
I think maybe it comes from what we were talking about before with boat captains marrying people. Maybe they like literally tied a knot around them.
I'm probably wrong. I haven't checked my facts on this one, but I always feel it's probably like tie the knot, because once you have like a knot in something, it's not going to come undone. It's like stuck there. But that was just me visually interpreting that expression. It could have another, it could be derived from a different, you know, cultural thing that we don't know of.
Yeah, you're probably right. Maybe there was like some cultural thing where like two people actually got tied together, but hard to say. It could kind of be like getting hitched, right? Because hitch is also like you hitch a trailer to a truck or something. It's like connecting two things.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Okay, so we're talking about some expressions like that are alternatives to saying getting married. So we just said tie the knot, to get hitched.
Getting hitched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else you got?
Maybe settle down. Could not necessarily be married, but it generally involves getting married, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what would be the difference between settle down? Like, oh, because they generally say to get married and settle down.
Yeah, to get married and settle down. So settle down is like buy a house, get a dog, have a kid, you know, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, because settle down can also be used if somebody is very, very like hyperactive, or they're yelling, or they're being, you know, quite obnoxious or something like that. Like a little kid, if he's playing up, you can say, hey, buddy, settle down. It means like calm down, be more relaxed.
Yeah, so it's kind of like stop being a wild kid and settle down, you know, get a good job, get married, get a good house, have some kids. Yeah. You might also say like similar expression would be kind of like putting some roots down.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so roots from a tree or a plant, you have the roots which kind of ground the tree or the whatever it is, and it kind of uses the roots to get all of its substances from the earth. Like, I think that's how it gets water. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Water and nutrients.
Nutrients, yeah. That's it. That's what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned, so settling down, and what's it called? Sometimes a man could refer to his female friend as
the old friend. Ball and chain.
female friend. His life partner. Yeah.
It's hopefully a little bit more than friends. His best female friend.
Yeah. That guy gets married to, like, you know, Bob gets married to Jane. Oh, hey, have you met my friend Jane? Oh, how do you know each other? We're married. Yeah, so there's like this, again, this could be a Western thing. I'm not sure if it's all over the world. There's a tendency for, obviously it's all playing around and stuff like that, but there's a tendency for men to feel like the women have trapped them in a marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, the men have this kind of like, oh yeah, the old ball and chain, because he's like being captured by the woman kind of a thing. That's another way that people portray marriage here a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, the ball and chain is like, traditionally back in the day, prisoners would wear a ball and a chain that would kind of prevent them from escaping. So it's kind of a similar thing that, like, your wife is putting a figurative ball and chain on you that prevents you from escaping.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Again, another expression that is kind of saying that it's kind of saying that they're not happy that they're married when they use that term, right?
Probably. Unless, I mean, they could use it kind of jokingly or, you know, lightly, playfully.
Yeah, yeah. I think most of them do. I think it's a common joke to make fun of your marriage like that. Like, oh yeah, my wife, she doesn't let me do anything. You know, she's my boss. But I think deep down, a lot of men really like that.
Yeah.
They like
having a boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike you and me, we're like just entrepreneurs, so, you know, we don't need we don't need the boss. Cool. We mentioned the ball and chain. There's another one you mentioned earlier, was to get a life sentence. Again, it's a comical way to, like we're just saying, is to say that you're kind of trapped in the wedding, in the marriage.
What would a life sentence be?
A life sentence is a prison sentence. So if you commit a crime, you go to jail or go to prison and you serve a life sentence. You're there forever, well, for your lifespan. But I think a life sentence is generally about 20 years. You don't, you know, not necessarily that your whole life.
Yeah, it depends on the crime. Sometimes you can get acquitted, I think is the word, when you get like pardoned for good behavior. Mm-hmm. But if it's a bad crime, it's genuinely like you're there your entire life.
Yeah, that's true. It depends on which country you're in too, because, you know, if you're in, like, for example, recently in Indonesia, some Aussie kids went there, you know, drug dealers, and they're either shot dead or, like, you know, they're what's it called when they kill you? Corporal punishment, not corporal.
Executed.
Yeah, they're kind of executed, and others are serving like
the
life.
Death penalty.
The death penalty. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also, I know we're talking about marriages and weddings here. We don't want to be too focused on death and prison sentences, but it's like that in the U.S., right? You have the death sentence there.
It depends. That's a state law. So, like, in Colorado, no, but I know there's some states. I think, like, Texas maybe still has that. It's only a few states. It's not common.
Yeah. Cool. Nice one. So we have talked about other ways of referring to marriages and weddings. Before we go to the next part, what is the difference between, how do you use the word marry and marriage and wedding? Because that's often confused, I think.
Yeah. Marry is a verb, so, or get married, to marry someone or to get married. Marriage is a wedding. They're both a noun, but marriage is kind of talking about the concept of getting married. And the wedding is like the actual ceremony where two people get married.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You might have like a white wedding.
Yeah, that's right. So, most Western culture, again, it's a white wedding.
I think that comes from
white dress.
Yeah, that comes traditionally though from like the woman. At least I think like the woman is supposed to be a virgin. So I think traditionally, if she's not, she's supposed to wear a black dress.
Yeah, that tradition has gone out the window for sure.
You would hope so. Or otherwise she might be like pushed into a volcano or something.
Oh yeah. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, one last thing about the whole marriage thing. So just a way to put it into context would be like, maybe if you are already married, let's say I was married to Jane, and I said, "Oh, hey, Ethan, you know,
Jane Fishwick."
Yeah, my marriage is really going down the I was going to say, what's that expression? Down the shitter.
Down the shitter, down the drain. Might be a nicer way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just pretend I edit that part out. So, hey, Ethan, my my marriage with Jane is just going down the drain. So I'm talking about the actual relationship with her is not well. Our married relationship, mm-hmm. Our marriage. Yeah. And yeah, we generally say to get married. Like, I got married to Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're or you could also say, it'd be the same pretty much too to say I married, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could say either I got married to Jane or I married Jane.
Yeah, I guess you generally say, like, for example, two common questions you might ask would be, hey, when did you get married? Mm-hmm. When did you get married? You wouldn't say, when did you marry? That sounds funny.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get married? Or how long have you been married?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't say, how long have you gotten married?
Yeah, because that is the act, the act of the wedding day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've clarified that. So how about we talk about the actual wedding day and some stuff that might happen and you might see in a typical, again, Western-styled wedding.
Yeah, I thought it might be useful first to go over the, like, who makes up the wedding party. So, like, the people, okay. And then, like, the actual procedure, I guess, of a Western wedding.
Sure, sounds great. So, the party.
So you have and it's funny, it's called a party, is like you could have a wedding party, it could be the actual like celebration with the alcohol and the dancing and the music and all that jazz, or you could have like the wedding party is also refers to the people who make up the wedding. So the bride and groom.
You're saying there's always jazz at a wedding party?
Good. All depends that jazz. Wedding. yeah, exactly. All that jazz means like all that stuff, right? All those things.
Yeah. You know, all that stuff related to whatever that person's talking about. You know, I love I was trying to give an example. I love water sports like surfing, kite surfing, kayaking and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Or I love music like blues and jazz and all that jazz.
That's kind of, yeah, okay. I think they get it. So you said bride and groom. You mean groom and to groom. Groom yourself?
Yeah, that's interesting, right? It's to groom is to, like, you use it more nowadays to, like, groom a pet, an animal. But you could say, like, groom yourself is also, like, kind of making your hair look nice. And is that used more, would you say, for men, or is it used for men and women?
I think it sounds like it's more for men.
Yeah.
You know, like clipping your beard, you know, maybe like shaving or, you know, you know, waxing your chest. I don't do that, by the way.
Way too painful.
Yeah. So bride and groom are the main people at the wedding party.
Mm-hmm.
They're the guests of honor, you might say. Well, they're not guests. They're the people who are actually
they're the hosts,
organizing the event.
The hosts of honor?
Yeah. Who are the other participants in the wedding party?
So you've got the bride and the groom. They each kind of like pick their best friends or the most important people in their life to kind of support them. And they stand up there as well with them when they're getting married. So the bride has her bridesmaids, which are usually like either sisters or best friends, or maybe the groom's sisters as well. And the most important one, or like usually will be her best friend, will be the maid of honor. And I think the maid of honor, as well as the best man, who would be the masculine equivalent, usually have extra responsibility in kind of helping to plan and organize things to kind of play a supportive role in the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. And what would be some of those supportive roles, would you say?
Planning a bachelorette party for a maid of honor, or a best man would plan a stag party or a bachelor party.
Yeah. In Australia, we have some different words for those parties. We'd say for the female version would be a hen's night, which is kind of weird because a hen is a female chicken. Yeah, a hen.
Yeah.
And then for men would say a buck's party, party.
So that's interesting. It's similar because I think a stag and a buck are the same thing, but it's just two different words for it.
What are they? It's like a male deer, isn't it?
Yeah. So it seems strange that in Australia it wouldn't be like a rooster party or a cock party.
Yeah. Cock being the male chicken in this case.
I'm guessing the bachelorette party could both be a hen party and a cock party. Yeah, they always have like penis-shaped party favors.
That is really funny. Hey, the women just go crazy on all these parties.
They do. So do the men.
Yeah. But it's a different kind of crazy, you know, because women have like, you know, phallic-looking everything, you know. They just get like everything looks like a dick. A penis, sorry. you see them. If you'd never experienced Western culture or whatever, or, you know, you were kind of an alien that came. If you came to Earth and you were out in a bar one night and you saw like a hen's party come into that establishment, you'd just be like, "What the hell is going on here? This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen."
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like there's always been phallic worship. You go in like Thailand. In the south, we went to this one place where they had like this cave that just was filled with penis carvings.
Not really?
I think it would actually be like men would take them to kind of pray for fertility. So that's kind of like something that's been played throughout history, and now it seems like a lot more comical though with the way that it's used in Western culture, I think.
Yeah, because those women are definitely not, you know, using those phallic penis looking whatever they're doing with that. They're not really using it to pray for fertility by any means.
Hey, who knows? They're getting married, you know.
Yeah. Maybe it is just like something that is in, it's just being disguised as this kind of like crazy alcoholic party, but really it derives from our ancient ancestors using that as a way of, you know, hoping that they have a strong, strong child. Okay, so you have
a very good a good first wedding night.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on the man for that first wedding night.
It's true.
So what is that called?
What's what called?
Oh, actually, no, there's no name for that, is there? Just the wedding night, right?
Yeah, the
I was thinking of the honeymoon, but that comes after.
Yeah, I think there is a word for that though, but I can't think of it right now. I think it's kind of a very traditional thing, like the first night as like man and wife.
Yeah, yeah. It's when you conceive your first child.
Usually,
as the rest of the village looks on. That used to happen too, right? You'd have to actually like consummate.
I think in like some cultures, yeah, consummate the marriage. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
You have to consummate the marriage. So that's like back in the day.
Yeah, and the whole village will watch you consummate your marriage by, yeah.
Talk about a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Well, it just shows that we are animals, right? You know, that's something that's very animalistic, isn't it? Having to do that in front of everyone, you know, praying to the god of fertility that, you know, you're going to have a strong baby child. It's just funny because I recently read, I've told you that book, Sapiens, talks a lot about, it's a book that I recently read. If you're interested in kind of like human history all the way from our caveman hunter and gatherer days,
yeah,
all the way even to the future, because they start talking about the future of technology and stuff. It's a really cool book. It's called Sapiens by Noah. No, it's by Yuval Noah. I can't remember the. Oh, it's right here. I can just read it. Yuval Noah Harari. Mm-hmm. Awesome book.
Israeli guy.
Yeah, yeah. Israeli. Interesting character because he's a. I mean, I don't want this conversation to be around this book, but he has a lot of really interesting perspectives because listen to this. So he's a Jewish-born Israeli. He is openly homosexual and he's married to another man. He is a vegan and he practices Vipassana meditation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he meditates 2 hours a day.
Potpourri of characteristics he's got.
Yeah, yeah, it's such an interesting book. Potpourri of, meaning?
Okay, a potpourri, like, is a big mix of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, back to the wedding party.
Back to the wedding party. So we said best man, but, like, the woman has her bridesmaids would be, like, all of them. So for a man, that's the groomsmen.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The groomsman. I was a groomsman for my brother's wedding.
Yeah, I was the co-best man for my brother's wedding.
Can you do that? Have a co-best man?
Apparently you can. I've actually heard of that too in other weddings now. I think it's probably kind of a newer thing, but I didn't have any of the responsibility because I was living in Spain.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of like missed out on all that. I came back for the wedding, and so I just got all the honor, none of the responsibility.
Did you give a speech? Best man speech?
I did give a speech, yeah.
Cool.
Very, very heartfelt speech.
Nice, nice. Heartfelt? Oh, a speech and heartfelt?
A speech is basically where you say some nice words. So generally, that's another thing is that I think all the groomsmen usually and all the bridesmaids at some point during the reception, they say some nice words, right, about the bride and groom.
Yeah, no, I mean here, no, I know what you're saying, that they generally like lift up a glass and they're like ting 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 ting, they ting, hit ting, on the ting. Glass, yeah. And they make a toast or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Make a toast?
Yeah,
make some
a good one.
Bread?
Nope. In this case, to make a toast would be to like, it's like to raise your glass as a celebratory gesture to the bride and groom and just wish them well and maybe say something. Oh, you know, I've known Ethan since he was a little kid, and he's an awesome dude, and I hope he's going to be really happy, and yeah, and everyone's like, yeah, and they just drink alcohol, and that's that's how magic happens, drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
And celebrating.
Yeah, we were talking about that first wedding night, too. I think it gets tricky when you've been drinking all night.
Yeah, yeah, and it is.
People barely, you know, barely make it to bed.
And it's funny when it's like, in Western culture, probably mainly just in Western culture. I'm not sure how much this happens in other cultures, but it's like when you think of a wedding, like right now, I'm like, oh, I'm going to a wedding today. I'm going to get really drunk.
Yeah.
It's like everyone there goes there because there's free alcohol and they can get really
there's
drunk
an open
and have
bar.
Yeah. It's like that's how we get married in the Western world, just get as drunk as possible. And, you know, obviously, I don't really get that drunk. I just have a few drinks and I don't enjoy getting very drunk, but a lot of people go there and get really, really hammered, you know?
Mm-hmm. What's an open bar?
Open bar is when there's free drinks. You don't have to pay for any drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can order whatever you want and you don't pay for it.
Yeah.
That's usually the fun thing about weddings. I especially
the bride
like
and groom does.
The bride and groom pay. Yeah, they pay up the ass.
Yeah. Pay up the ass?
Means they pay a lot. They pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's always fun, though, like with family, because you get to see a lot of family members that you generally don't see drunk together. Like everyone's drunk, like your parents, your grandparents, maybe your aunts and uncles, and then like all your cousins. So it's like just everyone young and old is wasted.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. We live in a strange world.
We do, yeah. So coming back to the wedding party. So in the States, we would say you have a flower girl and you have a ring bearer. So the flower girl goes down the aisle, the wedding aisle in the church or wherever it is, throwing flowers kind of before the bride comes in. And the ring bearer is the one who is kind of entrusted to hold the rings, which I believe a lot of times it can be the best man. At least like at my brother's wedding, I was also the ring bearer. I was in charge of holding the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the same thing in, we can say a ring bearer, but you also have another term that I use here, or not I, but people in Australia use, it's called like a page boy or girl. Mm-hmm. And it's always like a little kid generally. It's like, oh, look how cute he is, or she is. Yeah. And he comes out with the ring. And yeah, or some people even, I've seen, I think a friend of mine at his wedding, because his wife just loves their dog. So yeah. their dog was the ring bearer.
It was a page puppy.
Oh, you call it a page puppy?
No, we don't use that word page. I'd never heard that before, but it can be like a page puppy. Yeah. We might say like a ring boy or a ring girl, but the term would generally be like a ring bearer. Okay. But I've and heard of that term, too, like puppy, a dog.
Yeah. The term bearer is an interesting word, a ring bearer, because bear is like it sounds like an olden term now. I mean, you guys have it in the American Constitution, right?
The Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. The right to bear arms.
The right to bear arms. So bear in this case is like to possess.
Exactly. I always thought it meant like the right to have, you know, bear arms.
Like B-A-R-E. This is the bear we're talking about is spelled B-E-A-R, like the animal, a grizzly bear.
It could be, I guess it could be bear arms, like your arms are naked, right? Would be bear.
Yeah, B-A-R-E. Yeah,
yeah. Or also you maybe to have bear arms, like have arms from the animal.
Check out my new bear arms. Where'd you get those bear arms from, man? I killed a bear with my I gave him my human arms and I took his bear arms.
That'd be quite funny if we just like completely misinterpreted the Constitution here. We're like, I have the right to bear arms, to have guns, and it's like, well, actually we meant that you have the right to have some arms from a bear.
Yeah. Well, they say that what's the name of the fellow that wrote the American Constitution? Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln? No.
Oh. Didn't he sign it? Who was one of the forefathers?
Thomas Jefferson?
Oh, Thomas Jefferson, that was it. You're right. My bad. I really don't know that much about American history.
It's okay. Most Americans don't either.
Okay, sorry, we go on another tangent to bear arms. Bearer can also be like to support or hold, in a sense where it's like if you're walking on a lake freezes over, a river is kind of frozen and you kind of walk on it, you might say, be careful, that ice can't bear your weight.
Mm-hmm.
It can't support it.
It could be used kind of figuratively as well, right? Like you could say, like, she got fired at Christmas and it was too much to bear. It's like too much to handle, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like emotionally she can't bear it. Like she is the ice and she crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or you can say, I can't bear that noise. What's that noise? I can't bear it.
Yeah, it's like when I hear country music, that's how I feel.
Yeah, for sure. Sweet. Okay, anything else about weddings that we maybe like different parts of? Oh, any other characters at the wedding we should mention?
We might say like there's a, we kind of mentioned this before. Like you said, your father is a justice of the peace. That's what it's called,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A justice. Or you might have a priest, which would be, if you're Christian or Catholic, usually there's a priest who marries you. So that's kind of just like the different names. Clarity person we found as well. The different names for a person who might marry you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Sweet. And I know we're kind of ticking along here for time on the podcast. So should we just quickly go through some of the aspects of things that happen in the wedding, the parts of the wedding?
Sure. We already, of course, we skipped to the best part, which is like the party, the also called the reception, where the man and wife would have their first dance as a married couple.
Yeah. You see sometimes well, nowadays, I think I've seen this on YouTube as well, like the man and wife will do some kind of choreographed first dance. Like they spend weeks kind of preparing it and they have the song, and that's like, it's a bit of a show.
Yeah. Or they've even, I've seen videos where they do that as like the way of entering the church. Have you seen any of those?
No, I haven't seen entering the church. No.
Okay. There was like one that really went viral of this choreographed dance where the whole wedding party like enters the church dancing in basically. And then the Office did the TV series, The Office, the American version at least, did kind of a parody of it.
Oh, cool.
Two of the main characters got married, so.
Okay. If we find that, let's whack it on the show notes of this podcast.
For sure. And then, so the, like, rewinding, though, we kind of talked about the end of the wedding already. So the beginning of it, you would have kind of, you'd have, like, the actual ceremony. The couple standing at the front of the church. Well, usually first the man is up there with the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. And the woman, I think the bride comes in with her father. Her father is supposed to give her away, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Generally, like, walks up the aisle with her, and the mm-hmm. groom is already just there waiting for her.
Exactly. And they play, like, Here Comes the Bride.
Yeah.
Almost always. And
really quickly, the word aisle is just another word for, like a corridor, like that middle part that they walk through. We call that an aisle. It's a strange word because it's spelled A-I-S-L-E. And it's pronounced kind of like the contraction for I will, like I'll.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, keep going.
Or you might also have like a, just to give people another way to use that, like a grocery aisle. That's another connotation for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like
collocation, I mean.
Yeah, it's like a cleanup on aisle 7. We have a cleanup on aisle 7.
Exactly.
Spillage on aisle 7. Some little kid has opened up some Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs. Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. The aisle.
The aisle, walking down the aisle, and then they have the priest says all the things, like, we're here to join these two in holy matrimony, like you were saying at the beginning. And then the couple, usually they'll say their vows, or sometimes the priest we'll say it, and then they just say, like, I do, but sometimes people write their own vows. So what is a vow?
A vow is, like, you expressing your devotion or your love for your partner in certain words. So it's like what you're telling that person, I vow to do this. This is the person that I'm going to be. When we're married, I'm going to be this awesome dude.
Kind of say like a lot, like to be there in sickness and in health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. A vow, like another word you might say that a synonym would be promise, right?
Yep. Definitely.
Cool. And then you would have the priest basically ask them, the priest or the judge or the justice or whatever, ask them, do you take Jane to be your lawfully wedded wife?
And then
she'd say, I do. Or maybe she'd say, I don't, because she's like freaking out in the moment. She's got some cold feet.
Yeah, okay, cool. Cold feet.
Cold feet. That's like when you get nervous, right? It's usually used for weddings or maybe before a presentation. You get like cold feet, like you don't want to actually commit to the thing that you committed to.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say a presentation, because presentation is more like you just get nervous. But cold feet is, like you said, like, you're anxious because you're about to make a commitment, which maybe you're not. You're like last minute, you're like, oh, do I really want to do this?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. But so we were talking about saying the I do's. That's at the, and then they also say like, speak now or forever hold your peace.
If anyone, oh yeah.
Like they say, if anyone doesn't agree with this, so maybe someone who's got a long time crush on Jane might say that they object.
I have loved Jane ever since we were in kindergarten. I will not let you go forward. I cannot let you go forward with this.
And then Jane might like leave her groom at the altar.
Yes. So leave someone at the altar. What is the altar?
The altar is it's generally like an arch, right? That people get married under.
Yeah.
Like the altar. So it's, if you leave someone at the altar, it means that basically you kind of stand them up. You don't show up for your wedding.
Yeah. So, and it's generally the man who gets left at the altar, because he's in a traditional wedding, he would always be there waiting for her to arrive.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And kind of, yeah, so.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit confusing if she walked down the aisle and he's just, like, not there.
Sweet. So the I do's, speak now, forever hold your peace. Another thing that happens more towards the end of the reception is a magical thing where the wife predicts, or the bride predicts, who will be the next young bachelorette to tie the knot.
Exactly. She throws the bouquet.
Yeah, what is that?
A bouquet is like the, I think all the bridesmaids generally have a bouquet, and the bride has the biggest one. So a bouquet is basically like a group of flowers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And she throws it. She like faces all the women, like line up, all the single women in the party. They play some Beyonce, and she like turns around and throws the flowers over her back, and the women try to catch it.
Yeah, yeah. Beyonce. They're like, they start gets, fighting each other.
Yeah, it gets really violent.
A couple of black eyes, people punching each other. Yeah.
Girls are vicious.
Yeah. They want to, it's, you know, part of their DNA to get married, right? I mean, doesn't that date back to women from the, again, the hunter-gatherer tribes needing to procreate, so they need to find the a strong man that can take care of them, hunt for them, find them food,
and their child.
Protect them while they're pregnant, so they don't get eaten by a lion.
Exactly, or a saber-toothed tiger, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. There was like one more thing I was thinking about. I can't remember what it's called, but there's like usually a woman will wear something around her thigh, and the man is supposed to kind of, I think they kind of do a similar thing where he like takes that off and then like throws it to all the single men or something like that. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. What is it? Let's just Google that. What does a woman wear around thigh when marrying? A garter.
A garter, yeah, right.
A so wedding garter. Off
the, he has to, like, move that humongous dress and, like, find the garter. And then he throws it to the like, single men, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. It says here that, yeah, so, how are you, where the, yeah, so it's like you said, he throws it to the single men, much like the woman will throw the bouquet to the single women. And generally, the man who catches the garter will also he will share a dance with the woman who caught the bouquet.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's like, you know, always happens. I've never seen the garter thing happen at a wedding, at least not here. I've never seen it. But
okay, I've seen it a couple times, but I think it's kind of like a leave it or take it kind of thing.
Take it or leave it, right?
Take it or leave it, yeah. Said that one backwards. There's like a last one that I can think of is like the cutting of the cake. The bride and groom usually have that really big wedding cake, and they're supposed to, at some point, they kind of like stop the music and they cut it together, and they're supposed to feed each other the first piece before anyone else can have cake. And usually they kind of like smash it in each other's face.
yeah, that's right. Oh, weddings are so silly.
They're quite fun. I'm sure you're gonna have a ball at the one you're going to later.
Yeah, yeah. Have a ball means what, Mr. V?
Have a great time.
Have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to catch a couple more, maybe like another hour's sleep before I go there.
I thought you were gonna say catch a couple garters.
Oh yeah, maybe that too. Yeah. I'm not sure if you can hear this in the background, but my cat for the last 10 minutes has been like scratching on the door trying to get in. Hopefully you can't hear that on the microphone, but
I'm going to have to let that little... My nephew was doing that earlier as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He likes to come whenever I have like a meeting or anything, and he just comes. The doors, I'm in my brother's office, and the doors here are like glass, so you can see right through them. So like sometimes he just comes in and he'll wave or smile or like point at me or something. So distracting me away from whatever I'm doing.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, any last final words? This has actually been quite a long podcast, even though we thought it would be quite a quick one.
Yeah, we got carried away.
Yeah, we did. Any final words for weddings?
I think I've said all I can. Maybe you can give us an update though after you go. Think of some new things that happened. If you can remember anything, I'm sure you'll be drinking quite a bit. So.
Yeah. Well, my mom's driving me there. Well, she's going to the wedding too. So.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Alright guys, well hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. If you want to check out the show notes, just quickest way is just to go to our website, reallifeglobal.com, click on the link called podcast at the top, and just find podcast number 142, all about weddings and getting married. And if you want to contact me personally, if you have any questions, suggestions, or just want to say hi,
or invite us to your wedding.
Invite us to your wedding, yeah, exactly. We can be or just tell us where it is and we can come and crash the wedding. It's
as
Chad.
Long as there's an open bar.
Yeah. Open bar and lots of... Nah, I won't finish that thought.
Single ladies.
Ethan, that's not what marriage is all about, you know? Just going in... We should be there to celebrate the holy matrimony of two people that love each other.
We're both single. We got to find our wives as well.
That is true. That is true. Although I'm not a big believer of the whole wedding and marriages and stuff like that, I do definitely still believe in love, and I hope that I will find that special lady one day. So if you think you are that special lady, my email is chad@reallifeglobal.com, and you can feel free to just hit me up there. Ethan, want to put some love out there too?
Sure. Ethan@reallifeglobal.com.
All right, guys. So we are going to play you out with a song all about love by one and only Lauryn Hill. You're too good to be true. That's it from us today. Can I get a special love filled "Oh Yeah" in T-minus 3, 2, 1? Oh yeah. Just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. I'm